Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Zion B'Tammuz, Tafshin Ayin Hey, Parashas Chukas. The evening of the third day, Tuesday, 23 June 2015, webcasting from the perennial target of envy and malice. So there was good news and bad news today connected to the top story in Israel, the report by the Nations United Against Us Human Rights Council. Human rights for everyone but Jews. The irony is illuminating. On the one hand, the anti-Jew protest Israel's self-proclaimed status as the chosen people, but on the other, singles out Israel for unique mistreatment. And one of the more popular ways, especially among the enlightened these days, is the postmodernist pose of no absolute justiciable right or wrong when it comes to the Jews and their mirror image, the sub-civilized, a.k.a. barbaric, mortal enemies among the Arabs. In a word, moral equivalence between the Jews and these Muslim Arabs who murder them all the time, with the Jews never ever acting toward them as they towards us. And this is one reason why my advice as far back as 2001 was to return artillery fire into Gaza for every projectile fired out and deliberately intend to have them land in the most densely populated UN RWA area to kill Arabs on purpose. That is what Israel should have done. Instead of playing policeman, detailed to the unit dealing with gangs, the IDF turned itself into a police force to keep a track of all the individual gang members, and Israel developed these ingenious technological ways to target them when necessary in order to minimize collateral damage among Gaza's innocent civilians. This was the first conceptual error. These people are not innocent civilians. They attend rallies for Hamas in their hundreds of thousands. They're not innocent. Israel should have, I think, returned three artillery shells for every Qassam rocket into the center of an UNWA area to kill people at random. This would have outraged the enlightened, and Israel could have responded, "Hey world, we are doing exactly what they are doing, firing projectiles of death into a community of Arabs to kill them at random, for that is what every mortar and Qassam rocket they launch is meant to do to us. And that our artillery is more accurate and lethal is nothing to be ashamed of. We're on a higher intellectual level than these barbaric Arabs who endlessly fight one another and try to kill one another. If the world is unhappy with our return fire, we promise never ever to do it again so long as the other side stops. But if they don't stop, we won't stop." And I believe that would have put a stop to this long ago. Instead, with our startup Jewish brains, we invented all these funky ways to take down individuals as if they were criminals and not enemy killers representing the enemy Arabs and Muslims. This report, which found moral equivalence between Israel and Hamas as perpetrators of war crimes, I see is just more of the decadence and moral collapse of the West. This takes us back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That is its full name in the text. And they became aware there is good and there is evil, and God wants man to choose good, not evil, and there's no moral equivalence between them. The head of the UN HRC committee, this is another Goldstone committee, is an American citizen who was required, who was not required to give up her citizenship when she took the job. She remains an American citizen, even a New York State Supreme Court acting justice for a time, whose government lists Hamas as a terrorist outfit, a.k.a. a criminal outlaw organization, but evidently she does not so regard this operation. Every one of those projectiles that Hamas has ever fired at us since 2001 has been an attempted murder. It's not a war crime. This foolish, shallow woman does not understand that it's impossible for Hamas to commit war crimes because these are not soldiers in uniform. They are not soldiers in some national army. Hamas boys are not fighters, warriors in uniform. They're just murderers, plain and simple. Their daily existence, what they live for, is trying to murder Jews at random. They are barbarians whose moral code is plainly sub-civilized. Not only do they fire rockets at random into Jewish apartment houses that have a record of smashing into and completely destroying a family kitchen or parlor or bedroom, terrifying the families, the Jewish old people and Jewish children, this is what Hamas does. Every projectile is an attempted murder. Yet Mary McGowan Davis, in her report, sees moral equivalence between IDF soldiers, proud of the fact that they fight according to the rules and even go above and beyond them. The fertile military Jewish brain also came up with what's called a knock, not on the door, but the roof, the technique of dropping a loud, frightening, but otherwise harmless explosive device onto the roof of a building to send the message to the Ishmaelites inside to get out because Israel must destroy it, for it is serving the rocket launcher boys. Israel has everybody's telephone number in Gaza and sends out recorded messages to them saying, I guess, more or less, hey, Abdul, how you doing? It's the Jews. We're about to destroy your building, so you and Fatima and little ones are advised to leave. Run for your lives, because in 10 minutes, we're going to blow the whole thing up. Whoever in the history of warfare, which army, has ever acted like this? It is a fact that in war and other military operations, young, healthy, nice Jewish young men, boys, have been killed because Israel was afraid of inflicting collateral damage on our mortal enemies. And here is this Goya, this Gentile woman who possibly was raised in the Catholic Church and taught that Jews were Christ killers. And coincidentally, there was a news report the other day on the lasting effects of the education received by German children in the 1930s. They were indoctrinated, just like good Catholics, in the inherent evil of the Jews, and it stayed with them all their lives. If so, if she was raised this way, well, we should be less surprised by the report she has issued. The upside in this story is the utter unanimity in Israel today, across the political spectrum, in response to yet another decision by the UN Human Rights Council, smearing us with being at best callous when it comes to killing children in Gaza. These Arabs hide behind their own children, and Israel is accused of more or less deliberately killing them when it did not have to. That's the implication. In other words, there was a measure of a diabolical pleasure in killing them. Gratuitous child killing by the Jewish soldiers and on orders of their superiors is what is being intimated in this report. There was unanimity today in Israel and everyone's outrage, published by this, at best, moral imbecile, this woman who cannot see the difference between the behavior of IDF soldiers and these soulmate Muslim maniacs, soulmates of those who brought the World Trade Center down in her state. Same people. This New Yorker could not see the link between those 9/11 devils and these Hamas demons. Instead, she sees moral equivalence. And I think this is one way of continuing the apparently eternal war against the chosen people, which is driven by envy. What grates on a person such as Mary McGowan Davis is the abyss between the behavior of these Arabs with the souls of wild asses and the sterling stellar behavior of the army of the Jews. And that abyss lends credence to the claim that we really are the chosen people. The IDF deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for its restraint in its use of lethal force. The enlightened in their juvenile brain's ethical calculus, though, sees only 70-plus Jews and soldiers killed last summer by the Arabs versus the 2,000-plus Arabians, including hundreds of children killed by the IDF. And the imbalance offends them. It's not fair. Therefore, Israel is guilty of disproportionate violence. Well, I've got news for such people. In every Israeli war, our losses have been, in absolute terms, if not percentage-wise within our own population, puny compared to the losses of the Arabs versus thousands in the Six-Day War. And that's because we're superior to them on the battlefield. This is what happens when one side wins and the other loses. One has more losses than the other, and we make no apology for these lopsided figures. The enlightened don't like it that the Jews are superior on the battlefield and really don't like it that their behavior is heavens above their enemies' savage violence. Across the spectrum today, Israelis were outraged by this sick distortion of the behavior of our sons and the horrendous equation between them and these enemies of civilization. How dare this woman and the whole UN apparatus treat us this way?
סדר לי סעודתה בצפרה דשבתה ואז מן בהשת עתיקה קדישה מהורי איש רבה בקידוש הרבה ובחמרתה בה בבטח דנפשה ישדר לנשופה ונחזה ביקרה ואיך זה לנסיטרה, לאיתמר בלחישה ישדר לנשופרה, ונך זה ביקרה ואיך זה לנסיטרה, לאיתמר בלחישה ולמין דרגן ואיסף בת זוגן להוות פרישה אסדר לי סעודתה בצפרה דשבתה ואז מין בהשתה עתיקה קדישה
Yeah, what a bunch of ignorant judges this latest panel of UNHRC judges has presented the world with. Who is Mary McGowan Davis to pronounce on battlefield ethics? What is her experience of warfare? Hamas dug tunnels in order to pop up in Jewish kindergartens to butcher all the children, God forbid, and this woman said tunneling like this was legitimate. Hamas threatened sadistically to launch rockets into Tel Aviv and Ben-Gurion Airport, and this numbskull said it was equivalent to Israel giving a warning in Gaza that it was about to attack. It was Hamas alerting Israelis to take cover. And not surprisingly, and for this Israel bears much blame, the UNHRC report repeatedly referred to Palestinian armed groups when not one of them uses the word Palestinian in their names. Not Hamas, which means Islamic Resistance Organization, not Islamic Jihad, no explanation needed. Fatah, a chapter title in the Quran, meaning conquest of the infidel, and there's more of them. There is nothing Palestinian about these killers, and that I find quite an amazing fact and thought. They are Muslims. Hamas is the self-proclaimed Gaza franchise of the Muslim Brotherhood, whose primary ideology opposes all nationalist striving, including that of the hallucinatory Palestinian nationalist movement. This bizarre feature of the world's relationship to us, this misdescription of our enemies, is part of the anti-Jew urge to deny the existence of the Jews as the chosen people, a special people. An idea not meant to generate obedience to them, but just to their one big idea, which is that God exists and he wants people to choose between good and evil. This need to drag Israel down to the level of these savages is a cousin of what has driven Obama to say shamelessly that the United States was not an exceptional country. Sigmund Freud, an explanation of Jewish excellence, and that was the behavior of Jewish parents, especially their Jewish mothers, demanding of their children that they excel. They have high expectations for their children, and that is a most salutary way to raise them. Obama's rejection of the U.S. as the greatest country in history, in so many ways, which it is a function of this Arab Muslim's bitter envy of America, as he envies Israel. Obama's inaugural speech in 2009 contained evidence of this need to raise high Islam, to fundamentally change America. Americans had been unique in their treatment of Jews, not perfect, but head and shoulders above all other nations. And not surprisingly, just as it was said to Abraham in his first conversation with God, that those who bless your seed will be blessed. This has become a mantra among the evangelicals who have figured it out. It's better to be good to the Jews instead of breaking them on the rack, burning them at the stake, you know. You might find on YouTube a Michelle Bachmann speech of a few years back in which she lists the accomplishments of the Jewish people, a hallmark of her Protestant faith, which now pulls apart from the demonization characteristic of the early church. Obama does not like that. She does. In his inaugural speech, he elbowed the Jews aside and promoted the Muslims as equal partners in American culture and history. Beneath the ambition to be equal and even superior to the Jews is the pre-existing condition of bitter resentment that he and his Muslims are not equal. Likewise, such as this Mary McGowan Davis and her colleagues, they are spiritually and emotionally incapable of facing the facts of those 50 days of violence last summer, which a clear-headed thinker would see, exposing for all to see the abyss that separates Jews and Arabs in the conduct of deadly violence, one group against the other. Incapable of an honest portrayal, they must smear the Jews and lower them to the level of the barbarians. In Israel today, everybody, Bushi Herzog and Tzipi Livni and Yair Lapid on one side and Likud types on the other, were outraged at the implied insult that our sons are conscienceless murderers just like these Arab brutes. On television last night, I read about it this morning, I don't watch it, this McGowan Davis woman was interviewed on the top-rated news program, interviewed by fashionable leftist Yonit Levy, and told her that she did not consider Hamas a terrorist group. She said it was, quote, an armed group. And I say someone who thinks this way has no license to judge us. If Hamas, noted for its rockets into our bedrooms and its suicide bombers, just like the 9/11 maniacs, is not a terrorist group in her mind, there is something very, very wrong with her mind. In her defense, of course, she's not alone. This is how they all think at the UNHRC, the outfit that hired her. As I point out in my book, the UN has never been able to draft a definition of terrorism that all states could agree on. And that's because every attempt tried to exclude from the definition what the ancient ones do to us. That's freedom fighting. The UNHRC is that 47-member outfit which convenes once a month in Geneva to discuss human rights issues and problems around the world, and only one topic repeats in every meeting. And you know what the topic is. I await, as I have for years, for Israeli officialdom to declare finally that our enemies are just this generation's version of timeless Jew haters. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Now, as for another facet of today's top story, the Im Tirtzu group here in Israel, which means if you will it, which is a quote from Herzl, reported that the UNHRC report references the usual suspects and anti-Israel NGOs manned and funded by Goyim abroad, over 100 times? I guess this report is mostly their testimony. Over 100 witnesses or statements of war crimes by Israelis came to the UNHRC from Breaking the Silence and B'Tselem and Gisha and Yeshdin and the others. And these are what we call in our daily prayers and have for thousands of years the Malshinim, those who slander us to our mortal alien enemies. In every generation, there are Jews like those, like these, in J Street and the New Israel Fund that funds these anti-Jew operations. In the States, there are journalists such as Thomas Friedman and Roger Cohen, Peter Boehnert, Martin Indyk, etc. All Jew boys, all those Jew boys in the State Department. And it's about time Israel begins to take action at home against this fifth column, who clearly are in league with our mortal enemies. We reported the other day that Ministress of Justice Ayelet Shaked is working on legislation to hogtie these groups financially, and that may be the bright side of today's miserable UNHRC report. The unanimous sense of injustice here at this outrageous equation between our sons and these murderers. In our prayers, we recognize the existence of these Malshinim among us, but since the government of Israel continues to pretend it represents a normal democratic nationality, the God of free speech overrules Jewish self-preservation in that regard. Heaven forfend that Israel try to silence these internal betrayers. That's what the left says. The same issue has also been a top story here for over the last week or so, namely Ministress of Culture Miri Regev's decision not to spend taxpayers' money on a play that seeks sympathy for an Arab torturer and murderer. These are cousins of the NGOs. 2 days ago on Sunday, President Rivlin invited her and Odette Cutler of that theater, who refuses to perform in the Jordan Valley, because he says it's chutz la'aretz, it's outside the country. This is a clear violation of everything known on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, only he, Cutler, as a post-Jew, does not recognize the classic borders. He says that since the IDF is the supreme ruler there, exercising a military occupation, it's not part of Israel, not part of his Israel. In this brouhaha, no less, what is at stake is the boundaries of acceptable free speech, which in a healthy society should not include propaganda for the enemy. I'm as much of a free speech person as anyone, but as the Brits did not cut William Joyce, a.k.a. Lord Haha, any slack for his wartime propaganda for the Nazis, they hung him. So Israel has the right, even the obligation, to draw a line in the dirt between the acceptable and the unacceptable. For sure, there's a gray area, and the Miri Regev acknowledges that. Artists are free to operate in this area, but so has the government the right, even the obligation, not to fund them. It's not the same as shutting them down. Yes, this latest UNHRC abomination has stunned the country, as some have realized that its positions, suppositions, and judgments taken to their logical conclusions will eventually deny Israel the right to defend itself altogether. I believe that in parts of this report, the author seems to suggest that given the choice between harming civilians on one hand and allowing oneself to be killed on the other, Israel must choose the latter. Which is what we have done on occasion, haven't we? The report seems to lead to that Olympian judgment, according to which Jewish self-defense is inherently criminal. And if so, then I am reminded, not for the first time, that this smells of centuries of Sharia lawfare against Jews, according to which Jews were explicitly denied the right to fight back when attacked. The Jews had no right, under any circumstances, to do violence to a believer, because the Jews were infidels who stubbornly refused to admit the truth that Islam is the correct religion. And there's Judaism, a pilfered corruption of it.
בלילות עלי הסוף עלינו. להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך בלילות עלי עשור ועלי נבל עלי היגיון וחינות להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך
Okay, that's it for this Tuesday evening, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.